This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bank Town? Hey, did you miss me? Because I'm back. Jake the Snake Asman, I heard you yesterday. Don't have the energy, huh? Well, then if you can't step up and play ball, get off the field. I'm back. Nick, you too. Thought you'd have, you know, you've been a little bit more loyal to me. I heard you guys mixing it up a little bit. I can't do that. I don't know if I would even try that. Well, guess what? You don't have to because I'm back and I'm ready to go. So let's have some fun.
What up, Joel? How you doing?
I'm good.
You needed that day.
Did I, though?
I mean,
because if it was me playing golf and hanging out and just, you know, having a good time, be one thing. But I basically decided to step up for the wife yesterday because, well, for one, who schedules a full dress rehearsal for a dance recital for a five-year-old at 5:20 in the afternoon on a Tuesday in the Galleria? That's question one. So question two is, I actually realized how much I love to do what I do even more because of the fact that I'm sitting there going, like, I don't know what to do with myself. I texted you. I was like, I should be doing the rundown right now.
I know. I remember. Yeah.
And television is awful, including, of course, Mike Greenberg with his 943rd day of Aaron Rodgers sensationalism.
We didn't mention him once.
Stephen A. and Max Kellerman with forced arguments every day is hard to watch. And then I roll into dad mode, and I've got to pick Maddie's first day of summer camp and her first ever day with a splash pad, and then going right from there to, like, Taylor getting out of school, and then Lisa had a doctor's appointment, so she was completely out of the mix, and I'm going, well, this is something I never want to do. The stay-at-home dad thing is not something that I ever considered in the past, nor will I consider in the future.
Dance rehearsal, huh?
Yeah, dude, and again, she's five. Bright red lipstick. Hair has to be a certain way.
Really? At
the
five?
Costumes. The whole kit and caboodle. And then you pick them, you drop them off, and they're like, yeah, Dad, you can't cross that line. I go, it's my daughter. Yeah, well, we got her from here. I'm like, well, I don't know you, sir. I know the teachers that she goes to see every week, but just handing her over to you is not something I'm in a position to do. So then Miss Cookie, the instructor, came out.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Then she's like, they don't know what time you're supposed to pick her up. So Lisa tells me 8. So I'm like, I can drop her off. I can go home. I can do some things, eat dinner, come back. Miss Cookie comes out and goes, you know, you shouldn't even leave because you got to pick her up at 7. I'm like, it's 5:20. So I'm not going to drive home in traffic just to turn right around and come home.
That'd be dumb. That'd be way too much driving. Nobody wants to do that.
Man. So I stayed in the area. It was a long day.
You should have went to Moxie's and had a couple shots or something like that.
So my buddy
or the
Ben
West End or something
owns Houston Flowery down the street here on Westheimer.
Oh, yeah.
And as part of it, and I don't know how this combo works. You know how some people have, like, dual businesses? So he's got Houston Flowery.
Okay.
In the back and three quarters and outside. In the very front, he has a cigar bar where they sell cigars and drink booze and stuff.
That's cool. I've been to a cigar bar. Those are fun.
Furniture and TVs and things.
Yeah, they have you bring your own. Sometimes they let you bring your own, like, booze or cigars.
Maybe, yeah. He and I were talking, sitting in there. And I go, so how late do you stay open? And he goes, oh, I close it when I close the shop. I go, so they're done buying flowers at 7, but they're not allowed to continue smoking cigars and drinking when the sports come on. He's like, well, I don't know that I ever thought about it that way. I was like, I just think, you know, if you really want to make that a profitable part of the business, probably got to keep the cigar bar and the booze open past 7.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I've gone to one room in Missouri City, and I liked it, but they didn't have much sports either. I don't know if it's like, maybe not everybody who smokes a cigar is, you know, they're into sports, you know. Maybe they're just not into sports, but I like the idea.
You change the channel, and there's multiple TVs, but I'm thinking.
That's when I went to. It had multiple TVs, and I just changed the channel to a sports station.
Right.
Or sports.
So I would think that, you know, but, and I don't know how much his heart is into it, I asked him. He said he gets a good amount of people that go in there to buy cigars and smoke cigars.
No, cigar rooms are fun. They're fun. Have a little whiskey. Have a nice cigar. You can kind of get a little buzz from that. Kind of.
Some people do.
I mean, drinking it lightly. Like, it enhances the buzz sometimes, I feel like.
Well, and you're anti-brown liquor right now. So that's
I am.
Out on
I'm very pro tequila. Keep that brown stuff away from me. Don't want any of it. Don't so you, want any of it.
So you missed me. I mean,
I did.
It's obvious.
No, Jake was great. Shout out to Jake. It was a good show. But yeah, it was fun. I expected it to be the same dynamic, but they had me in the studio, so it was different. Tyler was behind the glass. We talked about redheaded athletes. It was fun. It was a good show. It's on Twitch and on Audio Boom if you choose to listen on demand.
Redheaded athletes.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't that many.
Actually, there are.
There's Andy Dalton, Justin Turner.
Apparently, Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah, I okay, fine.
Although Jake wouldn't approve him as a redhead.
Is he? I wouldn't approve him as an athlete.
See, I thought Jake was going to say that. I said Juggalo Trey would have a problem with that.
Too bad. Do you define Juggalo Trey as an athlete?
No, but he's not. But he's not a NASCAR driver.
Well, he's a huge fan. That's all he is.
I would argue driving that car is more difficult than golf.
Really?
100%.
Why would that be? Because you have to tolerate heat?
Speed. Any little
you're
type
not
of,
running.
Yeah, but you still have to make split-second decisions because you're driving. You're traveling so fast.
You're not pedaling.
You're not.
So what are you calling it? Mental athletics because you have to make quick decisions? So otherwise, I don't think you're very athletic. I get it that, you know what, your body's under some trauma because of the heat. But, I mean, excessive, what are you going to get, carpal tunnel syndrome because all you do is turn one direction?
I mean, I don't know, maybe. Do those things have power steering? Probably not.
You
got to
do a lot of calf work, calf lifts, and calf raises because you're always constantly pumping the pedals?
I don't know. I would imagine there's some, it gets you tired a little bit. People say riding a motorcycle is tiring.
Stop it. Athletic? Okay, Jason Kokrak won the tournament last week in golf. He's a bit of a pudge, so I get it that golfers take heat. You still got to walk.
You got to walk
7
and
miles
you have some
in the
dude
heat.
Carrying your clubs.
You still got to, but still, you got to walk. You got to keep up.
The dude, the caddy carrying your clubs is doing all the work. He's the one picking everything up. Probably weighs how much is a thing of clubs weigh? How much is those things weigh? Like 100 pounds, 200 pounds? I don't know.
Not that much. No, they look. The bag looks big and
it
intimidating.
It looks heavy to me,
but it's basically. There's not. I've done it. I mean.
Right. I don't know. I would assume you know. You knew.
Yeah, I did it in Tahoe for the celebrity tournament for years.
It's about 100
and with
pounds.
Even a tour bag with a full set of clubs and water bottle and some and all the other stuff in it, I don't think it's 100 pounds. I think it's probably more like 50.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not
I just thought it was heavier considering all the clubs, but I don't know. I don't play that. But
no. Nah. So I'll hear the argument that golf, bowling, and auto racing – all are not athletic sports.
Golf and bowling. Huh. NASCAR, I give them a little bit more
understand.
Respect.
So you the guy's got to still walk and be sharp, you know, and not be tired out walking a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think that's and going up and down hills and everything.
Not worried
as opposed
about it.
To sitting in a chair for how long's the race? A couple hours. You're sitting in a chair with carpal tunnel, turning one way.
Look, but you're just walking around on a golf course, and then when the session is over or whatever it's called, you go back
to the round.
The round is over, okay? You just go and have an Arnold Palmer, and you're chilling
no,
in the air conditioning.
You have to. It's a precision sport, Nick. So you. And by the way, every time you swing a club, that's athleticism. That's strength, hand-eye coordination.
That's a skill. It's a game. It's not really a sport.
It's a hand-eye. So and you have to pound balls. You have to hit. Tons and tons of balls to perfect the swing and the ball striking. You know how important it is to be a good ball striker.
I see what you did there.
I mean.
So Stephen A. still going at it with your boy Kwame?
Stephen A. gave Rafael Stone too much credit today, and then he got corrected during a break and had to change it.
No way.
Yeah.
We
got to
play that.
Yeah, so he's all fired up because of the fact that if you missed it, Danny Ainge is stepping away from the Boston Celtics after, I think, 16 or 17 years, a great run, running everything for the Celtics. As part of it, it looks like Brad Stevens is going to go from coach to replacing Ainge, and now they're in search of another coach. So as part of it, Stephen A's big thing is it's a racial issue that no other coach would get moved up to the front office and promoted, essentially, for not doing a good job if they were African-American. I don't necessarily disagree, though I think that there are always cases. But I see his point, but he was really pounding it today. And he goes, the only two guys, I mean, the only two brothers out there that get the control on all the decision-making is Masai Urizi and Rafael Stone of the Rockets. So that's it. Other than that, brothers ain't getting that deal. And he was making it a point. They go to break. He comes back. He goes, Let me correct something. People out there telling me they're not sure Rafael Stone gets to make the decisions on his own. I was like, thank you very much. At least you got that right. Someone got you that in time that you could correct that. Because I'm quite sure there's a massive difference between Masai Urizi and Rafael Stone.
Or Danny Ainge and Rafael Stone or anybody that's, yeah.
You know what? Here's the thing. Because Max was saying, well, Doc Rivers was coach and general manager. They took away general manager. They still kept him as coach.
Right.
And then when he wasn't coach anymore, he got a job right away. I don't think getting a job right away is the point. I think that there's a lot of coaches that when they lose their job, Nate McMillan, you know, guys like that. Nate McMillan lost his job, had to go to an Atlanta as an assistant. He almost went to the Rockets. And then when the Atlanta coaching situation didn't work out midseason, Nate's done a hell of a job. But it's all about who you know. I mean, if you have relationships, that's the key. I mean, look, Stephen A was all over Steve Nash should have never got the Nets job as a first-time head coach. And basically, without saying it, and then kind of hemming and hawing, he's white, but that's beside the point.
Right.
Well, Derek Fisher got a gig as a head coach with no experience. Jason Kidd got a gig without any experience, just not even being an assistant. We talked about how Mario Elie was paying his dues for years and years as a former player.
Never got
a gig. Couldn't get a head coaching gig. Wow. And then other guys are getting gigs without having any experience. So it's an open-ended discussion, and I can see your point, but I also think there's something to be said about it. First of all, it's on the owners. There's a reason why there's a Rooney Rule.
Oh yeah,
because the good old boy network goes strong, long, and hard.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's part of the reason why some people are kind of turned off by it. But I guess if it's a topic of discussion. And there's actually a lot of basketball news before we get into our Astros. Coach K is going to retire after the 2021 season. I thought that was pretty huge. Joel Embiid suffers a meniscus tear, and his status is day to day, which I think is interesting. How is it day to day if it's a meniscus tear, Joel?
You know what, Nick? This is what I think. I think it's a built-in excuse. I think the same way he was criticized in the past for not doing enough when they needed him most, and then, of course, crying, which I don't have a problem with when they lost to the Raptors. This is like, it's not to the level of James Harden-isms in the playoffs, but this is one of those things where, because the table is set. With or without a healthy Embiid, you should beat the Hawks, Knicks winner, and you should be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
The Knicks, too.
Yeah, whether it's the Knicks or the Hawks, and I think the Hawks are going to win that series now. But I think that the Philly's going to end up beating Washington. They're going to end up beating the winner, whichever it is, Knicks Atlanta. And they're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
And they get bounced.
But if they get bounced, you have the built-in excuse. Can't blame Joel Embiid if he doesn't play well. And if they lose, it's not his fault because he's dinged up.
Yeah, well, I mean, a meniscus tear can kind of do that. I just don't know how your day-to-day. Now, I've had a strain in my meniscus before, but obviously it was really, really tiny, and it was nothing compared to probably what he's dealing with. You got to deal with a whole bunch of symptoms. I just thought it was shocking that even a small strain, you know, I just don't know how it could be day-to-day. It does seem a little optimistic to me, but maybe they know something I don't know, or maybe they don't want to give up on the situation. Or inform the other team that he may be out for the rest of the season. But you're right. They're probably moving on from that series. But those are probably the biggest news. And then obviously the Astros.
Yeah, no doubt. So the Astros continue to win. And looks like they're doing what we asked them to do in terms of getting control of this homestand and having a winning record. They're at least off to a good start in the Red Sox series. Ainge steps away. Brad Stevens moves up. Celtics need a coach. Embiid has a meniscus tear. Julio Jones still doesn't have a destination. Coach K, as you mentioned, is stepping away. Interesting. Roy Williams steps away at Carolina. And before we even get to another season with him out, of the ACC. Coach K is following suit. Now the big thing is going to be, will a former Dukie get the gig, or who is a big enough name to keep that program afloat at the level that they've been at for so long?
Woj tweeted out an assistant as the front runner, but I'd have to find the tweet. I don't know if it's something where they're going to promote from within.
I think they'll look that way.
But I don't know if they're going to look outside either. You know,
I'm going to give you a name right now. Just as you, as we were talking about it, I hadn't thought of one. Jeff Capel was on his staff. Jeff Capel was a former player. He might be a guy. But just right off the top, it just hit me. Bobby Hurley. Bobby Hurley's the head coach at Arizona State. If there's one job that Bobby Hurley would leave the beautiful sunshine of Arizona State for, I believe Bobby Hurley could go to Duke and keep that program running. So I'll throw that name out there. We've got lots to get to. It includes you. So I'm glad to be back in the hot seat, and you guys can keep it warm. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line for calls and texts. Otherwise, it's Twitch and Twitter. On Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Together, we are the Press Box, and this is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the program. Glad to be back on the box. Glad to be with my man Nick as we continue to roll through. Lots of sports news. We gave you the news of the day. Nationally, locally, another great performance by your Houston Astros. Kyle Tucker, I'm glad I could wake him up. I mean, these are the kind of things that I do kind of under the radar for the city of Houston.
I don't get no credit for my unbelievable belief in him. You take all the credit.
But you didn't have an unbelievable belief in him because you wouldn't bet on him, and therefore
I have before.
Well, no, and when you did, you lost. So this time you had a chance to win, and you didn't. My thing was, and I forget the clown on Twitter that decided to tag him on the conversation when he was underperforming. But I was like, you know what? That's a really cool move, and that's been done in the past. But the thing is, I don't want him traded. I don't think he's not very good, and I think he's not. He should still be the starting right fielder for this team. It's just time for him to pick it up.
Yeah.
And thus, lately, he has picked it up. Yeah. And in the month of May, he really picked it up and took his average from 200 to a more respectable number, and now he's, you know, second straight game with three hits. Fantastic. But more importantly, it's the overall of the team in what they're doing. They barely needed their bullpen last night. Phenomenal. Okay? Luis Garcia was extraordinarily good. And for all you that have been coming at me going, sure, it's easy to say James Click should be working the phone lines trying to make a trade and trying to see who's out there, whether it be for a center fielder or whether it be for bullpen help, you keep coming at me saying, well, they don't have a good farm system, so they got nothing to offer. Au contraire, mon frere. This is what I've been saying all along. You have a surplus of starting pitching.
Yeah.
Because Garcia has done it again, and for four straight starts has been extraordinarily good, you saw Urquidy, looks like it wasn't a big deal, and he came back and had everyone eaten out of his hand. We know Fromber looked good and is only going to get better. You have Greinke, you have Odorizzi, you have McCullers. That's six, gang. Six right there. And I didn't mention Christian Javier. And I didn't mention Kent Emanuel. And I didn't mention some of these other young arms that have shown they're capable of being starters. Teams are salivating at all times looking for starting pitching, especially young team-controlled contractual starting pitching.
Yeah.
So you have what other people want. Now it's James Click's job to go out and find out what you need.
Luis Garcia has only allowed, what, three or four runs over the past three starts that he's had? I mean, he's playing well. It's a career-high seven innings, as you mentioned. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you're looking for. And I didn't think we would be talking about this, their pitchers like this when we came to the third part, you know, like after one-third of the season. I thought we would be still discussing some of the issues. The fact that we actually have a surplus on this roster that we can see, That is absolutely amazing to me. So, and plus their offense is kicking ass. So there's nothing better than that. So I love what they're able to do. Six pitchers, like you mentioned, including the names that you've talked about. That's enough. That's a solid rotation as long as they can stay healthy. You know, obviously you have some elbow soreness with some of these pitchers, but at the end of the day, if you can keep them healthy, six is enough.
Six is more than enough. It's a luxury, right? So that's why you have a surplus. That's what you look to move when you're looking to get better. There are teams out there that already know they're out of it. There are other teams that know, hey, look, our payroll is limited. And as it is, we're not back to 100% like the Astros are with attendance. We're not in a position of strength. So therefore, we got to cut payroll or we got to get guys off our roster. Well, I had said at the start of the year, Gerchuk was the guy with Toronto. And then lo and behold, he's been ripping the cover off of it and Springer's been hurt. So now they're teetering on whether, because he's got a good-sized contract, they were teetering whether they should make that a move like that or not. But he's out there. Kevin Kiermaier of the Rays, he's expensive for a team that's always looking to save money. And they have minor league guys that they would move. They traded their starting shortstop, Willy Adames, basically for nothing to bring up one of their prospects. They'll do the same thing for Kevin Kiermaier. You could get him. And if you need bullpen help, there's other teams doing the exact same thing. The Tigers are already out of it. There's plenty of teams that are scuffling that are going, you know what? If we can add a few young arms or if we can get a starting pitcher here or there that we'd rather take a chance on than a guy that's a veteran reliever, we'll unload that. And the Astros should be willing to swoop in.
Yeah, they should. And I think it's just a matter of James Click willing to make the moves and if Jim Crane is willing to give him enough of a leash in terms of money and monetary value. I don't know if they're really going to be able to get a veteran arm if that's what they're really looking for. I don't know if they're going to be able to address the Miles Straw situation because to me, you've had a bigger issue with Miles Straw more than Kyle Tucker. I think that's safe to say.
No question. My only issue in the outfield has been Miles Straw as a regular everyday player.
Right. And I think that's fair. I think most people would make that argument. And I think if they fill that void, they become that much better. But six pitchers in the rotation, I like what they're doing. I liked what Luis Garcia, I mean, that guy is good. And apparently Dusty was saying, like, players around him has been saying, like, this guy has some outstanding stuff and he needs to absolutely, like, you need to get this guy in the rotation. Like, you need this guy, he needs some reps.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were, really endorsing him. And that's great. That's what you need. Now you've got a guy that players actually endorse and he actually came through in this game.
Yeah, and you know what? You look at it, too. It's not overpowering per se, his fastball. It's in the low to mid 90s, but there's something to it. It's movement, it's spin, but he's not afraid to throw that thing to anybody at any time and challenge the hitter. And you can see the frustration when the fact that they're not hitting it, they're not getting to it, they're not hitting it, and so he keeps bringing it. And to be honest with you, that was a high hit total for him in terms of hits he gave up in a game.
I think it was six, right?
The only problem was two of them were his own problem for not covering first base.
Yeah.
He would have had two less hits.
He would have four, yeah. That's his fault. That's his fault. He'll learn from that.
They continue to roll. They're back at it with the Red Sox with a chance to wrap up the series win if they win this one. Of course, it's a four-game series. It's game three tonight, so that's at 7:10, and that's another national TV. It's at 7:10 because it's a national TV start. ESPN's covering that game. Wait, I got it. Yep, 7:10 start. No, wait a minute. It's an ESPN game, so they list it as, yep, 7:10 Central. And the pitching matchup, real quick for you, is going to be Nick Pivetta and Framber Valdez. So the Stros looking for another one against the Red Sox. Back with a whole lot more. You guys pick it, and we'll click it. We'll make sure that we get to the topics you want to talk about. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Otherwise, text Twitch, Twitter. We're here for you. It's Press Box on ESPN.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Restrictions may apply. Plans and costs for coverage may vary. Call OxCart.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Right now, you know, there is a ways off. I mean, you still have to pitch. You know, no matter where you are, you know, in the rotation or in the bullpen, you still have to pitch. You know, like they say, you never have enough pitching. And, you know, who knows, maybe, God forbid, you know, something always happens, you know, when, you know, where you're going to need everybody here, you know, in that rotation. Like I've said before, I remember one year in San Francisco, we had like 8 starters, and then by All-Star break, we had like 3. You know what I mean? So you just live in the present, enjoy what's been given to us now, and then we'll worry about the future later.
Well, the present is the John Travolta warm-up or wind-up and all the deceptiveness that Luis Garcia brings is associated with a fastball that gets it done. And if you watch the at-bats last night by Rafael Devers, who is one of the, I mean, they had the stat last night on the game, the 3 best guys in one lineup in baseball. And you wouldn't think about that, but Xander Bogaerts, JD Martinez, and Rafael Devers, I believe, are the 3. And Devers, you could see it, the frustration. Every single time Garcia challenged him with a fastball, he was like, I should hit this. This is in my wheelhouse, and this is not too fast. And so Garcia just kept going, all right, tough guy, here it comes again. Here it comes again. Here it comes again. And he was spiking his helmet, and he was talking to himself because he just could not barrel it up.
Yeah, that was clear body language and frustration because he just couldn't handle it. I mean, I love it. I love the fact that that happened. And it probably gives Luis Garcia a mental edge that he probably needs. I'm kind of big on momentum. I've talked about it a lot. Not everybody is, but that has to be really positive when you see that guy frustrated. I mean, that's exactly what you want to do as a pitcher, and you need that mental edge. We talk about it all the time. We talk about it all the time. And I think there's a lot of mentally strong people on this team. You look at Yordan Alvarez. When we saw him get back in the lineup, I'm like, wow, I'm just glad. Sure enough, he performs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, McCormick, I think, drove in Alvarez in the fourth inning. And I think that's what really opened it up. Kyle Tucker, like you said, I think he had, 3 hits?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's exactly what you need. The mental edge is huge.
It's a big part of baseball, for sure. Mm. Confidence is, and the competitive spirit when you go up mano a mano, especially in a pitcher hitter relationship like that.
Oh yeah,
and if you know you've got good numbers against a guy, you're gonna use that to your
and
advantage
Ortiz
as well.
David Ortiz used to talk about this all the time when they were really, I guess, considering like the plate appearances and putting like a timestamp on it, or at least putting a maximum amount of time that you can have in a plate appearance, or at least between swings. He's like, dude, this is a mental game, bro.
Yeah.
All right. I have to walk back. I have to walk away from the baseball plate, go back to it. All right, there's a mental game that I'm playing. So if this is what they really want to do, go ahead and find me because I'm going to take my time just like I want to. There's a mental game to be played, and I think that really helps Luis Garcia. So.
And you see it. It's the same way we talk about with the players that play superstitions or the players that have the same routine they got to go through every time. JD Martinez does this funky thing where it looks like he's either smoking a blunt or he's sniffing like the...
Like his fingers or something?
I was going to say something I don't know if I should say or not, but the stinky fingers. He kept going, you know, like he just scratched something he shouldn't have scratched. But he does that between every pitch, and he's got to do it. You watch Marwin.
Like what is
Marwin
it called? A dirty Sanchez? That's what it looked like, a dirty Sanchez.
Okay. Well, Marwin, when he was with the Astros, you loved it. When he's against you, you hate it. After every pitch, he steps out, and he's got to do the same thing with the batting gloves, and he's got to, you know, adjust his cup, and he's got to go through all this routine. It's like, bro, just get in the box and hit. But yeah, you're right. It's the mental aspect is such a big thing in baseball.
Yeah.
And when you have that belief, they can't hit me.
And maybe I could walk back to the plate a lot quicker and just wait for the pitch a lot faster. But they choose not to do that for a reason. Maybe they'll go back to the plate quicker than they normally would for a reason. Maybe they want the pitcher to throw the ball quicker than rather have him wait. There's reasons why they do that. There's such a big mental game, and it's so important. And I think the old school nature of Dusty really allows that. You know what I mean? There's certain things that they don't have to worry about.
I think it encourages it. I think there are times where either Dusty and maybe even Brent Strom comes out there and uses that to their advantage to give them a little extra motivation going, hey, look, I looked at the numbers. You own this guy. Stop worrying about the, you know, stop overthinking your pitches.
Correct.
And just let it go.
Yeah. Just, yeah. And that's the perfect, see, and Dusty would be the perfect manager for that situation. Just to just let it go. Do you, man. Get out of this situation. Get over the hump, whatever the case may be. Get your reps in. I mean, it is refreshing to have a manager like that. I mean, to be honest, I really love the way A.J. Hinch spoke when he was the manager of the Houston Astros. But I'm really glad that they went into, you know, because obviously they were forced out of the A.J. Hinch situation. And I know Crane made the decision to fire him, even though he didn't have to after the suspension. But still, I mean, just going from that manager and the way he speaks to the media and to the fans to Dusty, dude, it's really refreshing. I like them both.
But at least you got two communicative guys. They're different, right? Old school versus new school and analytics versus not. But here's where I get to all my points on James Click, which guys were trying to come back at me on all weekend on Twitter. The thing is, Jeff Luhnow, we would have heard from him 10 times by now. Jeff Luhnow would have been at the batting cages. Jeff Luhnow would have had impromptu press sessions with all of the local TV and radio people and said, hey, right now we know we have a deficiency in our bullpen. Right now we know what we're looking at. Or right now we're talking to teams because now is the time to get out. Because someone said, well, why would you do it now? You do it right before the trade deadline. And my rebuttal to that is very simple. Right now, you're right in the thick of things for the division title, and you got a firm lock on second place. If you wait till right before the trade deadline, first and foremost, you might not be in either position because the Angels are getting healthy. They're going to get Trout back at some point. They're still winning enough games. They're on your heels. The Mariners are surprising everybody. They're playing good baseball. So you don't want to wait too long to where you're not in a position of strength win-loss record-wise, and you're still trying to make a move. Now it's more about a desperation. Now the entire terms change. Also, when you're talking about the fact that you want pick of the litter, why not look at it now? Most teams are going to do exactly what they're telling me that they should do and wait till the deadline and wait till it's too late or hope that there's a surplus of interest in who they got. But other teams that are realistic and know they weren't going to make the playoffs anyway this year,
yeah,
and their long-term goals are 3-5 years down the road, hey, we could kind of accelerate our rebuild or accelerate what it's going to take to be a winning team if we traded this veteran and got a few younger guys in return, a young starter. Or maybe you include either Chaz or Miles Straw if someone says, I need another young guy. And I don't think of the two that I would be more apt to keep Chaz right now because he's done a lot more offensively.
Yeah, yeah, I think Chaz, yeah, that's why you hold on to it. Because you never know what Chaz is going to do. Chaz might continue to play that. Like, I like the way Chaz is playing right now. So just don't mess with his confidence. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm really big on that mentality. So I love the way Chaz is playing right now.
So my good friend 832-784, who loves me to death, he or she texted and said, who would you trade out of the six starting pitchers that you got? Well, the thing is, too, I'm also going to be smart and frugal from a business standpoint with the Astros. All right? I got six. I know Grinke's not going to be there probably after this year unless he comes back at one hell of a discount, right? I know I'm going to have team control over the main guys that mean the most. I got team control over McCullers because I signed him long-term.
Yep.
I've got fairly good short to middle long-term control over Urquidy, Garcia, Javier, Fromber, right? So there's five already. Odorizzi is a guy that I overpaid for thinking that I still needed a guy or two that looked in his last start like he was still good. That's going to have an attractive marketplace because of his track record on the major league level. Before he signed with the Astros, he said it on one of the broadcasts, the Angels were interested, okay? Some teams in need of pitching were looking at Jake Odorizzi. So you could throw him out there first and foremost and say, hey, here's an established veteran major league pitcher that's had success on the big league level over time. You want him, let's talk about what you can give me. And if it makes sense, that's one of the guys you consider. He's only under contract for this one and one more anyway.
Yeah.
And you have five other guys that are going to be there for the next couple of years, including this and next, where you might not need them.
Yeah. I'm open for that, too. And that's the other thing. You can't be gun-shy with these situations. Once you have a surplus of pitchers, don't be afraid to give someone up that you actually might want to keep in the rotation or on the roster for something better, regardless of the void that you're trying to fill. In Joel's case, it's Miles Straw. You know, whatever the case, if you just want the veteran arm, whatever the case may be, don't be shy to give up one of those pitchers. You have to be, you can't be gun shy in these situations if indeed you are filling a void and making your team better. And that's what James Click has to do.
And I'd like to hear from him. Okay. I know there's a big thing with the media right now because of the Osaka thing with tennis and the fact that she has, whether or not it's legit or not. And I heard Granato poking holes in it today. And her sister went out on Reddit and basically said she doesn't have the issues that people think she does. It's a family member that said that she can't play on clay and mentally it's driving her crazy and she hates talking about it. So that's why.
Really?
And so there's a little bit of that. But then it starts to take the conversation to the next level of why do they have to talk to the media at all? Well, here's the thing. For all the people that are out there that are the sports fans that like to bash the media, without the media, not just us, but the media that cover the team on a daily basis.
They can't put out the story.
You wouldn't have all the information that you have at your disposal,
it's
whether
a story
it be
to tell.
On the computer, you know, whether you're in the Chronicle, whether you're watching AT&T. Because without us, you don't get hardly anything out of them. So that's where I go back to Luno saying he didn't have to, but I appreciate that he did, because not only from our standpoint was he giving us tidbits, but also from my mental well-being standpoint, I know that this team that I keep saying is too good to have a bullpen that bad has a guy that's still working the phone lines and talking to try and make it better, to rectify the problem, whether it be a Band-Aid, stitches, or a full-blown replacement. I don't care as long as I know he's working it. Click right now, I don't have that confidence. I had that confidence with Luno. I don't have that confidence yet with Click.
Yeah. And I mean, the worst thing is not only we're not even sure that he has the same leash. We've always had the discussion about his reputation being a guy that's on the cheap in terms of his money and dealing with the roster. So I feel like you have two situations. Not only do you have a guy that is kind of known to be cheap in that situation, and I'm not saying he's going to be or he's going to be a bad manager, GM, but he has been in the past. But you also have Crane, who probably doesn't want him going out spending. And I think the discussion between them and Carlos Correa was indicative of that, you know?
But that's when we didn't have 100% capacity in the stadiums. That's when we were still worried about when the pandemic was going to ease up the restrictions. So now we're in a different place. And those restrictions have eased up. And fans have come back. And therefore, revenues come back. We need to know that, too. Hey, right now, I'd like to hear from a general manager that says, we're still in wait-and-see mode, guys. We're still trying to recover from the pandemic. We're working on things. All right? Or right now, the owner has told us, let's hold off for a little bit. Whatever. Honesty or not, short answer, long answer, I would appreciate talking to us, because then we have a better grasp on where they are. We did hear from Correa in the discussion saying, well, I know one thing. They told me no long-term deals and no big money from the Houston Astros. That's one that you hope changes too, because like I said, right now they are a contender that could get better, and that's all I'm concerned about. This team is too good to have a bullpen that bad, and that's why I want him to focus on it.
Yeah, and I don't know when he's going to talk. I hope it's soon, or at least maybe he makes a move and he's like, look, we made the move, by the way. I don't know how he's going to do that, but I would love to hear his ideas.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he's going
to
put him out there.
And to 346's point, which is completely... Please listen with the ears instead of the lower half of the anatomy. The Angels are nowhere close to the Astros' heels. The only threat is the A's. That's now. What I said is make the moves now so that by the time you try and make a move, if the bullpen keeps imploding, the Angels don't have a chance to get healthy and get better and catch up to you when Trout comes back. And last night, Rendon had 5 RBIs. So it's 3 or 4 games now. You don't know what it'll be if you wait till then. That was my point. All right, we'll continue to roll on. It's just hour one of the 3-hour program. Lots more to get to, including you. So give us a call, 713-780-3776 on calls and texts. Otherwise, the Twitch line is hot, as it always is, and people are conversing. And you can do the same thing on text and Twitter. It's Nick and Joel. It's the Press Box ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios,
Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Wrapping up first hour of the show. I mean, still two to go as we continue to roll you all the way up until 4 o'clock where the Blitz. I believe AJ's off the next couple of days.
I saw him in studio, I believe.
Oh, is he?
Maybe.
I thought I saw the schedule. Maybe it's next week.
Maybe.
Or maybe it's coming up later this week. I know he's taking a couple days off. But regardless, the Blitz will be following us up from 4 to 7. And so it's a solid afternoon for you if you're in your car and or have access to listening pleasures.
Yes.
We appreciate you being tuned into us. And it always starts with me with our Twitchers because there's great conversation that happens during the breaks that we were just having on a variety of different topics.
We didn't get your thoughts on the whole NBA situation. Kyrie stepping on the Boston Celtics logo, the fan that got tackled by the security. There's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And Shams Charania came out saying the NBA informed teams of new measures regarding fan misconduct, such as, in addition to bans, teams/arenas encouraged to develop processes for pursuing law violations. Code of conduct announcement to be made 3 times during games and enhance arena security deployment. Does that make a difference? I say no. What say you? I think there's still going to be a bunch of idiots out there doing whatever they want to do, whether it's throwing popcorn, spitting, whatever the case may be.
Here's my question to you, Nicholas. What changed? Like we were at a
the increased incidents.
But I'm saying exactly what made the incidents go on the rise. Well, all of a sudden, in 48 hours, we had like 6 incidents. And I'm thinking to myself, we're just letting fans back in the building. Before we hit the pandemic, people seemed to be above their wits and had their wits about them, and they were all good
sure.
in knowing what was common sense. Now, God love the security guy in Washington, and I was listening to you guys yesterday, and I was waiting for Jake to throw this out there, but the tackle that he made prevented something, and we don't know if he was going to streak.
You're talking about in the Washington game?
Yeah.
I mentioned it.
I was going to say, you eventually saved the day and mentioned it, but it was he was focused more on what had been with some of the other incidents. The most current one was maybe the most disturbing because you saw the players. He had to come down an aisle across a major open area behind the basket of just floor space and then approach the floor to where who knows what he does when he's on the floor. Sure, everybody assumes he's going to drop his drawers and show his cheeks and maybe have an advertisement like they do at some golf tournaments.
Right.
But who's to say he didn't have a weapon? Who's to say that he wasn't trying to take his 15 seconds of fame in a different way? You don't know, and it's the players that are at risk, and they are the ones that it's their livelihood.
Yeah. And you're right. You never know what they're carrying. That particular guy just looked like an idiot. He was just being an idiot because you're right. He did go down the aisle, but once he got to the court, he like jumped to touch the backboard first.
Is that what he did? I didn't see that. I just knew the tackle was fantastic.
Oh, the tackle was great. These guys are getting big. I don't know if they're training, but these security guards, they know how to tackle, bro. Like, I don't know. Like, I think a lot of these guys, they run past the bigger like security guards thinking that they're not that fast. And some big guys are deceivingly fast, kind of like when we talk about alligators.
Yeah.
Some big guys can run. Well, don't think just because you're big and round that dude can't run.
And don't think it's not the heyday of anybody's career as a security guard. Like, you watched it during the football games. A lot of these guys are ex-football players. They're loving the chance that they get to take a free shot at you with no chance of legal issues.
Ramifications. Absolutely.
Just because you're a dumbass.
Yeah. They want to level you because it's funny. And at the end of the day, they're going to look bad if you get past them.
Reggie Miller, and I thought Charlie would be all over this. Don't ever say that security guard should work for the Redskins. Not a good look. We're beyond that, Reg. It's the Washington football team. Probably someone should have been in your ear on that one.
Wow.
Said that? This is what I also don't like, Nick, and you're right. I heard you guys yesterday in the car, and you and I are on the same page. I don't care if it was popcorn or not. People say, well, it was just popcorn. He should be able to get over that. No, it's still personal space, respect. And next time, if you got away with popcorn, it could be a beer bottle. It could be a lot worse. The other thing I don't want to hear any more of is, what's the big deal? You know what? We should be able to do that, throw a bottle at Kyrie, because he stomped on our logo's face.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? No.
And that's not that. And Jake corrected me, and I went back and I looked it up, and he was right in that. That was 2 separate incidents. So it was.
Yeah, definitely it was.
So, and look, dude, like the popcorn thing, I remember the discussion should have went further. I said, the fans shouldn't be able to do it, and you shouldn't defend it. And some people are like, Nick, get it straight. I'm not saying to defend the fan. I'm saying Russell Westbrook shouldn't be upset. I'm like, and I'm saying, yes, he should.
I agree with you 100%.
Like, why should he not be upset just because it's popcorn and it's not going to hurt? I don't get it. I don't get the – I don't understand
one,
that.
You're still disrespecting another human being. Two, it's not behavior that you would pull if you saw him walking down the street or at the mall or at a movie theater. You wouldn't just walk up to another grown-ass man and throw popcorn all over them and expect there not to be any ramifications.
And I liked Holly's point. It's like 25 or 30 bucks for popcorn. I'm not throwing my popcorn.
Fair point as well. Here's the other thing. What Kyrie did was so much more subtle than what Terrell Owens did when he went to the Star in Dallas and decided to do it during a game right at midfield in everybody's view. It took some savvy cameramen to watch it, slow-mo it, and highlight it to realize after the game that's what he did. Okay? Was it petty? Sure. Do I think that that's why the dumbass in the Kevin Garnett jersey did what he did? I don't. But even if it was, it doesn't justify his actions. Because here's the thing. We talk about all the time, oh, if it's just popcorn, or it didn't hit him. But you know what? What if it did? And what if, God forbid, it hit him in the eye? And what if suddenly we're talking about one of the better players in the NBA losing eyesight, whether temporary or permanently, in one of his eyes? Then does it change it for you?
It would, but see, the popcorn thing and the eye thing is where people are going to like, come on, man.
I change gears to just focus on the Boston thing. The popcorn is one thing of just disrespect another human being.
Right.
Okay? The Boston thing is, don't tell me because you saw him stomp on the leprechaun's face that you decided it would be a smart move from that distance, that elevation, to throw a water bottle. And it should be okay. Because you know what? It didn't hit him. But if it did, now it's even more drastic. Yeah. Now, and all it takes is one incident.
Yeah.
Because the next time, you're not the fan access near the court. All these different things are going to change. Now, I am mad at the NBA that when you started letting fans into the building at a higher volume and the playoffs, you weren't proactively already ahead of this. We shouldn't have had to see the amount of incidents we've seen before you decide. Because those announcements, no one's listening, no one cares.
Yeah, the disclaimers, even if it's on a big screen that's big enough for the entire venue to look at, sometimes they're not paying attention to it. And you know Toyota has one of the bigger screens out there. Like if you go to Toyota Center, their screen is really not that small compared to some of the other venues. If you're like far up, like if you're like in the nosebleed, sometimes you can't see these big screens. And the Toyota Center, it's not really like that.
Well,
you
can actually see.
Huh?
Top three in the believe me.
Well, having, I didn't know the exact size. Yeah, I knew it was up there. I just didn't know.
Nick, having worked for the Rockets, the largest scoreboard in North America for one full year until the Indiana Pacers and the Denver Nuggets surpassed them.
Right. But so my point is though, you can see the screen and the audio is pretty loud from a very far distance in the Toyota Center, and they're still not paying attention. They're not.
Right.
They're not.
Yeah. I just think I commend the security guys and I commend the fans even more that turn in the fans that do it. But everybody's kind of just shrugging their shoulders and wiping their hands of it because there was no damage done. But God forbid the one time that there is, because then all hell's going to break loose. And then you're going to see players in the stands. And then you're going to have a real issue on your hands of whether that's justified or not. Because the malice in the palace ain't nothing if a guy takes something in the face and it creates some serious damage and players decide to act out on it. So there's that. Lots more to get to. We just 1 hour into the 3 hour program. Tons of topics to still bring up. You got something on your mind you want to get off your chest? Bring it to us. 713-780-3776. HRNP and listener line is open right now. Text line's coming in consistently. And of course, there's Twitch and Twitter. He's Nick. I'm Joel. We're the Press Box ESPN.
Is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.